This past week, for a few days, I had the pleasure of my nephew Dan coming to visit me from Minnesota, and we had the most wonderful, amazing time. Dan, for many years, struggled with alcoholism. It was a terrible struggle, a kind of suffering that many of you know, either someone you love or yourself. And you feel very helpless. There's nothing you can do. And I remember there were many times praying for him that I was so afraid that he was going to wind up dead. But now Dan has been sober for 6 years, and he is such a delightful human being. And I so enjoyed our time together. One of the things that we did, we went up to Mount Rainier National Park. It's so fun to see the Pacific Northwest through the eyes of someone who's never been here before. And after our hike, well, we were still hiking, actually, we decided to stop and have lunch, and we found a mossy knoll in the middle of the woods that was just covered in deep moss. It felt like a pillow when we sat on it. And as we sat there and talked and ate, the sun was filtering through the trees in the most beautiful way. It was a magical moment that I won't soon forget. Sandy Eisenberg Sasso wrote a wonderful children's book called In God's Name that affirms the need to call God by many names. She uses source of life, creator of light, shepherd, maker of peace, my rock, healer, redeemer, ancient one, comforter, mother, father, friend. We call God by many names because we recognize the limits of our human language and that no one name for God can capture the fullness of God. Sasso also reassures us at the end of her story that all of the individual voices ultimately merge together to call God one. There is a composer, Brian Wren, has a similar themed hymn called Bring Many Names. The lyrics speak of strong Mother God working night and day, planning all the wonders of creation. Warm Father God hugging every child, feeling all the strains of human living. Old, aching God, wiser than despair. Young, growing God, eager on the move, crying out for justice. And finally, in the last verse, great living God, never fully known, joyful darkness far beyond our seeing, closer yet than breathing. So in our worship, we bring many names for God, but as this children's story reminds us, we also call God one. In dialogue with Jewish and Muslim sisters and brothers, we can affirm our belief in monotheism, that God is one. But within Christianity, we have an additional belief that God is three in one. This idea came to be known over time as the doctrine of the Trinity. But where did that come from? The earliest Christians experienced God in a threefold way: as beyond them, with them, and within them. That is, as utterly transcendent, as present historically in the person of Jesus, and also present in the Spirit within their community. These were all encounters with only one God. And they began to talk about God in this threefold pattern. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Early Christian letters and gospels are filled with these cadences that appear in hymns, greetings, confessions of faith, blessings, doxologies, rules of faith. And in the process, the monotheistic view of God flexed and expanded to incorporate Jesus and the Spirit. Their language expanded creatively to accommodate their religious experience. This isn't to limit the notion of divine revelation, but to affirm that God makes herself known to us in and through us, mitigated through human experience, because we are in our bodies now. So everything that we experience through our senses. The Christian notion of the Holy Trinity as God, the creator of the universe, is also within us, as near to us as our own breath. When I read this children's book, In God's Name, I was inspired to, in my own personal prayer, to begin to address God by different names and to think about each name. In other words, rather than string them all together, as Handel has beautifully done in Messiah and, of course, in the Gospel of John before that, rather than string them all together, just take one. Wonderful Counselor, for example, and really consider what that means and use it in your prayer. Not for God's sake, but in order to expand our notion of God, which is what I'm getting at, in case you were wondering where this is going, the need to stop making God so small, stop grasping at a God to suit our needs, and to resist making God in our image. In addition to God's name, we might also notice that we experience God in many ways, not only in church, I hope. By immersing ourselves in the beauty of the natural world and by structuring our lives so that there is time for that first love. By our very nature, we get distracted and we are absorbed in many other pursuits, sometimes worthy, sometimes not. We're so busy. There's a certain pride in being ever so busy. But what could be more worthy of our life energy than connecting with the Spirit of God, which animates all things? Here, language fails me also. But I might say, what are we doing here that is more important than finding our way back home? What could possibly be more important than a grateful heart that meditates on God's love and in so doing increases the capacity of love in the world? I happen to be reading a novel that put it this way: knowing means learning how to be. Our highest task is to make out the words to better partake in the ecstasy of existence. Our highest task, to partake in the ecstasy of existence. If you say in response, I don't know how to do that, or I'm not sure where to begin, find a mossy knoll in the forest to sit on and begin with letting gratitude for the miracle of your life well up inside of you. Begin with thank you. Then insert your new name for God. Thank you, lover of my soul, joyful darkness far beyond my sight.